Hallelujah. Welcome back to the studio of the Beth Israel Ministries. Purpose: to participate in the ongoing world conflict on the internet. The reason is because the life of men all over the world depends on what people are saying. And if what somebody is saying and pushing, what narrative somebody is pushing is not proper, and you know it's not proper, then you keep silent and say, well, I believe God will convict him, or God will show that it's not proper. No, no, no. If you do that, you are leaving the work of you for God to do. Amen? When nobody speaks, the one who is not challenged wins the day. That is why I told you that the reason tithe can never be defeated in the church is that no pastor, starting with Jesus to the last pastor, the book of Revelation, challenged tithe. Amen?
Amen.
Therefore, tithe wins anywhere it goes. Nobody within the book challenge. You cannot come now and add your challenge to the Bible. The prophet Isaiah said that the vision of all, this Bible is the vision of every Christian. We don't have a separate one from another one. Even if there are some Bibles where there are other books that we don't have in this one, the bottom line is that these books we have are in that Bible. You get the point? Yes, the book of Judith is not here. The book, I have a Bible, the Catholic Bible. But the Orthodox Bible is bigger than the Catholic Bible. There are books in the Orthodox Bible in Russia. The Orthodox Pope that is in Russia. Because there are two popes in the world. Because the word Pope means Papa. So the Eastern people don't look at the Pope in Rome as their Papa. They look at the one in Russia as their Papa. So the Orthodox Church, even the Orthodox Church in Jerusalem, has a Bible. But all these books here are in that Bible, even though some of the books there are not in this Bible. So this Bible is never not complete. It is complete. As in, what it means is complete is that when you read this Bible, it is what everybody that is a Christian all over the world has. Plus, the ones who have additional books in their Bible, they have this one. So, this Bible is understood by all. But their Bible is not understood by all. Because there are some books missing. There are some books added to it. So, this is the book. The Bible said the vision of all. Isaiah calls it the vision of all in Isaiah 29. So the vision of all shall be like a book that when it is given to the learned man, let's look at it. When it's given to the learned man and say, read this because you are learned. Please, you are the learned one among us. Please read this book for us. Amen. The learned man will say, the book is sealed, for the Holy Ghost is the seal of that book. He said, it is sealed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 11, Isaiah 29, verse 11. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed. Amen.
Amen.
Which when delivered to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. He said, I cannot, for it is sealed. So the book, the vision of all, is not a material for the learned man. So when somebody says, I am learned, I have a PhD, I have a professorial degree, I read Hebrew, I read Greek, that is not a right for the seal to break. It is sealed. The learner says, my learning cannot break the seal. So the vision of all, the learned man has no advantage in the Bible. So don't let any man come up with, I'm a professor, I'm a doctor, I read Hebrew, I read Greek, I read French, I read Latin. So I am the one that is all fabu. It's all lies. That is called exclusive gospel. The gospel of exclusion is exclusive gospel. The gospel of exclusion, not exclusion. Exclusion. That means this gospel is designed to exclude some people from the right to teach it. For if you hold that gospel, you are holding the position that if you are not learned, you don't have the right to teach the gospel. It's exclusion. It's the same thing as saying if you are not circumcised, you are not a Christian yet. So you are excluding some people from Christianity because of circumcision. He said they want to exclude you. That's what Paul said. They are preaching this gospel to exclude the Gentiles from the blessing of Abraham. So if the Gentiles must come into the blessing of Abraham, the Gentiles must circumcise. They are trying to exclude you so that they can glory in you by saying that my work and what I have done here is not the original work. So I have built the church all over the world. Then these apostles, these fake apostles come and start saying, have you been circumcised? And you say no. Then your Christianity is half. Be circumcised before you enter the blessing of Abraham. And the people say, is that so? Then they started going for circumcision. Meaning the work that Paul did is in vain. They have stolen his glory. They want to glory in you by introducing something that I did not tell you, so that it will be as if I didn't do well. They are now the one that is now bringing you to the covenant of God with Abraham, into the blessing of Abraham. Then he began to narrate to them that, look, Abraham received that blessing while he was uncircumcised, so that the Gentiles will also be part of that blessing who are not circumcised. And the circumcision we now have when we give our life to Christ is the circumcision of the heart, not the circumcision of the flesh, because we are not the sons of Abraham in the flesh. So that was the argument that he was showing the Galatian church and exposing those pastors to be fake. So when you say a man must be learned to handle the Bible, you are preaching exclusive gospel. You are excluding the unlearned. And that is satanic. So this man of God, the prophet of Isaiah, already foresaw this kind of people who want to use their qualification or their learning to bamboozle others, to silence everyone. Those who want to say you must travel to the land. Look at a man who said we shouldn't travel to the land of Israel. Yet he is bringing Jewish language to speak in Nigeria. You don't subscribe to people going to Jerusalem, but you subscribe to you using Hebrew to explain Nigerian English. Hypocrite. Liar. Deceiver. Having deceived themselves, then they want to deceive the world. So this man of God, led by the Holy Spirit, because all he said, holy men of God prophesy as they were inspired by the Holy Ghost. So this man of God, Isaiah, he's the one who brought the scripture, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Jesus borrowed the scripture. Jesus borrowed the scripture, the Spirit of the Lord God. Isaiah was the one who said it first. Amen. Yeah. So Jesus fulfilled the scripture that Isaiah claimed, that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon him. The Bible didn't say the Spirit of the Lord God is upon the Messiah. It said the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And Jesus came and claimed the same scripture. So the Spirit was upon Isaiah, and by the Spirit of the Lord God, he says, the vision of all, which is the Bible, both the scripture and the work that the apostles did, shall become like the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I cannot. So no learned man can read it. No learned man can have an advantage over this book. No learned man. For it is sealed to the learned man. It is sealed to the learned man. No matter your learning, whether it's theology, the scripture is sealed to you. Then they will take the book and deliver it to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I am not learned. To the unlearned man, his hindrance in his own mind is that he is not learned. To the learned man, his hindrance is his learning. It is his learning that blinds his eye, that he cannot see what that book is saying. So both the learned and the unlearned have no advantage in the vision of all. So who has the advantage? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach. So where is the advantage? It is here written in the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, chapter 61. So the advantage is not in the learning, because if you notice, Isaiah was a learned man. He said, he has given me the tongue of the learned, that I will be able to speak the word in season to him that is in need of that word. Amen. So Isaiah was from the royal family. Isaiah was not from the Levitical tribe. He was from the royal family. He was a member of the royal house. He was a well-learned man. In fact, it is recorded that there are two Isaiahs, the senior one and the junior one. And that at some point, it was a younger one that was now speaking, and they joined the book together and call it Isaiah. I don't know how the theologians and the historians arrived at that, but whatever it is, there was an Isaiah. It's either that Jonah swallowed the fish or the fish swallowed Jonah. Anyhow, there was a swallow. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So this man, the learned man called Isaiah, said, it is not because of my learning that I can teach all these things. Look at the secret. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Then look at the second one. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. So who is the man that is to teach the word? He that the Lord has called and anointed, and he that the Lord has sent. Be he learned or unlearned. So he cannot carry his learning and wave it in the eyes of the world. Say, you know why I'm teaching this? Because I'm learned. Go and learn. You will learn. You will know what I'm teaching. Sir. Sorry, sir. You are mistaking it. There is no advantage to you as a learned man, as far as this scripture is concerned. But because this scripture must not be spoken in the language you learned, this scripture can be spoken in Biram effectively.
Yes, sir.
Effectively. This scripture can be spoken in any language of the world. Just all you need to do is translate it to that language. Give it to the people of that language. They will teach exactly what you are teaching in that language. And if an interpreter is there, he will interpret it, you will hear it. So there is no language of the world that anyone has that is an advantage in this scripture. That is why this is not a Quran where you have to learn Arabic in order to read it. You don't need to learn Hebrew. You don't need to learn anything. Let nobody come out and say he has an added advantage of language and be psyching himself up, fooling himself all around the world. This book has been explained itself that no learned man has advantage. No learned man has an advantage. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, the book of Revelation. You know, people like Abel Damina are chronic, pride-filled human beings. Because anyhow you demystify his position, clearly as noonday. Abel Damina is the kind of person that can use torchlight to read book under the sun. That is, the sun is shining, he will still untouched in order to read, so that Greek and Hebrew are his torchlight to read the book that is as clear as noonday in any language of the world. Because it is the Spirit that teaches. It is the Spirit that giveth life. The flesh availeth nothing. The word, the letter, killeth. But the Spirit giveth life to the letter. So it is not your learning. But no matter how you make this thing clear, you will see, if Abel Damina sees my work, all these my works that I'm doing on the studio, to kind of demystify the position he's taking, it is just for him to come and say, it's a lie. in Hebrew, that word is abrixtus, meaning brixtus brooks. That's all he can do. It is called logos, meaning it's nothing. Just like I say, eternal life, is everlasting life, is this, is that agal, and then eternal life, loam, and this one, those are Hebrew words. I know what eternal life means in Hebrew. I know what everlasting life means in Hebrew. But when I'm talking to you, it is English we are talking.
Yes, sir.
Why do I have to begin to make these things up? The book of Revelation. Say, it's called in Hebrew, Olam. Olam. It's called in Hebrew, Gal. Because those are the words. You get what I'm saying? Those are the words. Why do I need to do that? There are different meanings depending on how you use it. You will now see one. There's the one that is Olam in usage. There's the one that is God in usage. There's the one that you see them plenty like that. Why will I have to try to impress you with that? Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So you say, this and that. It just, so it said here, he said, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. It's a scroll, it's a book written, all right, sealed with seven seals, meaning it is the vision of, look at it. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven. So there is a man in heaven. There's men. There were men in heaven at this time. For no man in heaven. All right. Nor in earth. Neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Some people think there are no men under the earth. You know, that's why they don't believe in mammy water. You know, that people that don't believe that there's mammy water. That the people don't, they don't believe that there are beings living in the water that are humans. They will say, that one is error. You are teaching this is. Listen, I didn't ask you to go and become mammy water. I didn't ask you to go and worship them. But I'm telling you, they exist.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He said, no one was able to what? Amen. Open the book, neither to look thereon. So no one was able to break the seal, because the Holy Ghost is the seal of this book. And at the end, he said, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to break the seal, right? To look into the book. So this is the vision of all. Everybody needed to know what is in the content of that book. Because when God speaks, he speaks to all. I say to one, I say to all. He speaks to all. So when God is speaking, everybody needs to know the word of God. What is in that thing? That thing means a lot to the human race. That thing means a lot to heaven and to earth. Please, somebody should be able to open it so that we can see. And then one person opened it. Said the Lamb of God that was slain. He opened it. And immediately he opened it, the entire book of Revelation began to unfold. Each time he broke one seal, new things happened. Okay? Until he broke the seventh seal. So what am I trying to say to you? Why was there no man, be it rich or poor, be it learned or unlearned? Because the book written by God is always sealed by the Spirit, and no amount of learning can qualify you to break it. It is Jesus that broke it. And what did Jesus say? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me. So it's only the one whom God has called and anointed that breaks the scripture. So please, sir, we refuse to go and learn Hebrew and Greek. Even those of us that have some knowledge of the Hebrew and the Greek, Amen. We don't have to bamboozle people with it. Amen. So we don't have to begin to talk stories around the Bible before we can teach the people what the Bible is saying. Yes, you may refer to one or two things, but do not make it look as if all men have to know those things. No, listen, the Holy Spirit needs to use the Bible to make you know what he wants you to know at every particular moment. Let us look at the book of Revelation, the seven churches. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Revelation, the seven churches. Chapter 2. And unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, this thing saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. No, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. I have borne, and has borne, and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first work, or else I will come unto thee, and quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. What is the first work? Jeremiah says, you followed me. Israel was my firstborn, and he went anywhere I wanted and followed me everywhere I went. What it means here is that the Ephesian church had grown cold. They were no longer evangelizing. They were not putting evangelism. You see, when evangelism, when winning of souls is out of the question, doctrine pastors will arise. Everybody that teaches revelation will say, I'm an apostle. I come to lay the foundation. Because actually that is what an apostle is in terms of office, not in terms of the general usage. The general use apostle means representative. You can be the apostle of Indomie, the apostle of football, the apostle of wrestling. That means you are the ambassador of wrestling, going all over the world trying to promote wrestling. So the apostle of Jesus Christ are those that go all over the world trying to promote Jesus. It means those who Jesus has sent, those who are representative of Christ. But in the fivefold ministry, apostle means a foundation layer. He said, I, as the master builder, have laid the foundation. So an apostle's work is to lay the foundation. So when an apostle comes to a church, he's not interested in the razzmatazz. He's not interested in who is learned or who is not learned, or who is the, how beautiful the church building. He doesn't mind if he's going to preach in a congregation where they have not been able to successfully roof their church. He is interested in Christ in you and him crucified, and all the details of Christ. He's not interested in how many cars you got, how many houses you got. That is the apostolic mindset. He said there are those who claim to be apostles, but they are liars. When you try them, you find out they were not apostles. They didn't represent my interests. Now how? Why did this happen? Why did this happen in Ephesus? Go ahead and look at it. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. This thou hast. This is where the false apostles base their confidence in. There is a doctrine, a teaching, which is the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Jesus said, I hate it. I what? Hate it. Look, the word is strong. He didn't say, I dislike it. I don't like it too. He said, I hate, the opposite of love. The opposite of love. Jesus said, I hate. I hate it. It's the strongest word to use to distance yourself from something. Hatred. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This thing said he which had, that's verse 12 of chapter 2. This thing said he which had the sharp sword with two edges. With two what?
Edges.
I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast dared them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. There are two teachings of Balaam. Cast sin, make the people live in sin, and then also lead the people into idolatry through eating the things that belongs to idol. Amen.
Amen.
I don't want to dwell on that particular one for you to see the import of that word. However, I'm going to a point. Amen.
Amen.
Then he said, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Two churches, two cities, held the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, and Jesus said he hates it. Which thing I hate. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What is the doctrine of the Nicolaitans? The word Nico means anti, laity. Nico is anti and laity. So this is anti-laity doctrine. Who are the laity? The poor, the unlearned. So these people uphold that only the learned should teach the gospel. And only the people that belong to the ruling class should teach the gospel. So they tell you to be learned before they can hand over the gospel. So even if the Spirit of the Lord God is upon you, even if the Holy Ghost picks you up to teach the gospel by the Spirit, because we were foreordained before the foundation of the world for what we are doing now, so that both our learning and ignorance did not count when the Lord was choosing us.
Yes, sir.
So it doesn't matter what the devil does by putting some country in darkness and making some people poor and making some people, when it comes to the calling of the Lord, God does not segregate. God does not discriminate. God follows the original plan of every man whom he sent into the world. He said to Jeremiah, before you entered your mother's womb, I knew thee. Even while you are in your mother's womb, I ordained you to be a prophet. Now, Jeremiah was a son of a priest.
Yes,